Hello to you all. Get ready for Snippets with Uta. Wasn't it a surprise at the National Television Awards? Yes, Ant and Dec praised newcomer Lineker. Yes, Ant McPartlin and Declan Donnelly congratulated Gary Lineker after he ended their 23-year winning streak at the National Television Awards. The former Match of the Day star appeared shocked to win Best Presenter at the ceremony months after his BBC exit. In a video on Instagram, McPartlin said, "We were beaten by an up-and-coming new guy, the 64-year-old whippersnapper Gary Lineker." Well, that was a joke. McPartlin agreed, "Well done, pal." A different sort of honour will be issued by the Royal Mail. I don't know if you heard about it, but the Royal Mail will honour Britain's railway network. Royal Mail is to issue a set of stamps celebrating the heritage of British steam locomotives and the pioneering development of the railway network. A set of 10 stamps features locomotives that helped shape the history of rail travel in Britain, including Locomotion No. 1, Rocket and Evening Star. These are the names of locomotives. And a miniature sheet of 4 stamps will mark 200 years since the opening of the Stockton and Darlington Railway. Train rides, historic ones or recent ones, can be fascinating, informative and fun. But, well, there is a but. Assaults of women and girls on trains are increasing. There has been a steep rise in sex offences and violent crimes against women and girls on the railways, according to official figures. Levels of violent crimes against women or girls or and girls rose by 5% to 12,082 over the year to 31st of March. Pardon me. And a 59% increase since 2021. The number of sexual offences jumped by 10% from 2,437 to 2,670. The data released by the British Transport Police Authority and first reported by The Times show the majority of sexual offences occurred during the evening rush hour period between 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and on busy carriages, which is in a way unbelievable because there must be the most populated carriages at that time of the day. Anyway, please don't be put off by news like this. A ride on a train can still be pleasant, efficient and necessary. And away from Britain, away from Europe, far away in Venezuela, there is a train up to Machu Picchu. Sadly, at least 900 tourists had been stranded near Peru's ancient Inca citadel of Machu Picchu after a train service was suspended due to a protest. Peru's tourism minister, Desilu León, said 1,400 tourists had been evacuated, but 900 remained stranded in Aguas Calientes, the closest town to the nation's most visited cultural site. Services had been suspended because the route in Peru's mountainous Cusco region had been blocked by rocks of various sizes as local residents clashed with authorities and bus companies. Well, I hope the problem was resolved quickly and the 900 people who remained in Aguas Calientes actually got out of it, or at least up to Machu Picchu. Do you like travelling? I do. And when I was younger, I travelled several times on my own. I had great experiences, saw a lot of different things and chose my cities wisely, or the countries I went to. There are many positives to solo travel. Research by Travelzoo found that people thought the best thing about travelling on your own are getting out of my comfort zone. That's what people said. Number 9 was, it feels like a treat just for me. Yes, it sometimes does. Feeling more confident and independent. That's definitely true. Number 7, avoiding other people's stress or moods. Yeah, that's another thing. 6, freedom to change plans at the last minute. Number 5, meeting new people. Number 4, not feeling responsible for anyone else. And number 3, not having a compromise on food, activities or timing. And number two, peace and quiet when I want, most of the people said. And number one is exploring at my own pace. Yes. So that was from number 10 down to number one, what people said. I really can agree with this. And although one has to be careful and aware of dangers, obviously, when you travel, depends if you travel on your own or with a group or in a crowd, whatever, be aware of dangers. Closer to home, we can see an increase of young people joining the National Trust membership, which is a thing closer to home. So you don't necessarily have to venture out. Just enjoy the National Trust membership and you can go to fantastic places in Great Britain. Well, travelling to wonderful places in the UK. So we are still with the topic of travelling. There has been a surge in 18 to 25-year-olds becoming members of the National Trust in the past 18 months. More than 40,000 people signed up between March 2024 and February 2025, marking a 39% year-on-year increase, with a further 16% from the start of March to the end of July. The National Trust said the rise in numbers aligns with its recent findings that young people's interests closer to home in history and heritage is strong. The environmentalist and National Trust ambassador Maya Rose Craig, 23 years old, said it shows they care and want to help protect these places for everyone, like castles, nature spots, parks and much more. So you're travelling in Britain now. And with your dog? No dog walking as it rains? What to do? Well, check this out. A damp day needn't mean leaving the house, well, the dog in the house, housebound. Dog-loving Britain has plenty of indoor attractions and experiences where the pooch is welcome too. So get him out of the house, whatever the weather. So, for instance, there is Pet Place Indoor Dog Park in Anglesey and Conway. Think youth club or soft play, but for dogs. We know that for children, for younger ones, for toddlers, but this is for dogs. And there is actually a website which shows you the dog-friendly indoor places. This one here, Anglesey and Conway, think of, as I said, youth club or soft play, but for dogs. This Welsh pet shop has expanded its offering beyond treats and toys and created indoor play areas for dogs at two of its branches, in Llangefni, I hope I pronounced it right, and Abergele. The latter even has a cafe where you can fuel up on drinks and snacks while the dogs run riot on the play equipment. Plus, they sell dog-friendly ice cream for treat time after play session. So look it up on a website, type in dog-friendly indoor places and you will find a variety of places to go to when it rains in Britain. If you walk your dog in any weather and anywhere, so maybe you want to go to the coast. And you might encounter something which is quite rare, seahorses. Seahorses, they venture closer to the UK coast now. More seahorses are venturing close to shore in southwest England, a leading conservationist has said. Neil Garrick Maidment, founder of the Seashore Trust, oh no, it's not the Seashore Trust, it's the Seahorse Trust, said two had been sighted in the inner harbour of Torquay in Devon for the first time. Previously, they have only been recorded in the outer harbour. He told the BBC, people think they are this mystical creature that comes from tropical seas and reefs, but they forget that under our own waters we have the most amazing biodiverse habitat where is in the world. Well, I wonder how large or what the size of these seahorses were. Well, I mean, two seahorses spotting in a harbour. You must be on a good watch out. Or you come across thousands of starfish stranded on the beach, which is quite sad, actually. A mass stranding that resulted in thousands of starfish washing up on the beach was most likely the result of heavy seas and strong currents, an expert has said. thousands of the invertebrates were washed ashore along a wide stretch of Kirkcaldy Beach in Fife, with many being thrown up onto the paved footpath above the beach by large waves. The decaying remains of the creatures remain strewn in heaps all over the sand, while bemused locals picked their way among them, many taking photos. Professor David Ferrier from the Scottish Ocean Institute at the University of St. Andrews said Monday's heavy seas are a likely explanation for the stranding. This is the most likely and unfortunate for the starfish natural event. Professor Ferrier said, nothing to be worried about. Well, I mean, if it's the seahorses, which are rare and they come now into harbours, and then you have the starfish, which are also rare, more or less, coming to the beaches and actually dying, that is quite sad. That's really, but I think that is something maybe to worry about. If you like to rescue animals, here is the appeal to help feed the allergic orangutan. A primate sanctuary in Dorset has appealed for help feeding one of its residents, a baby orangutan, with allergies. Sibu Junior was transferred to Monkey World Ape Rescue Centre in Wareham at just 12 weeks old, as his mother at Dublin Zoo refused to let him feed. And in the wild, orangutans can suckle until they are about 8 years old. This would normally be replaced by cow's milk formula in captivity, but Sibu Junior is allergic to it and needs an expensive alternative. Monkey World has launched an appeal for donations to cover the cost of feeding him on their website. Moving on from orangutan to something bigger, elephant size. It's a squash, the size of a baby elephant. A squash is a type of pumpkin, and a competitive vegetable grower has asked for help in moving an enormous squash that has grown to 642 kilograms, the equivalent of a baby elephant. Lee Harrington said that the squash at his allotment in Lees, near Stourbridge in the West Midlands, has grown so large he has no way of moving it, and asked for some kind of farming machinery to assist. He's seeking to enter it at the Malvern Autumn Show. It's taken me by surprise, Harrington said. It's bigger than a builder's bag now. So if he can't lift it, how does he know it's 642 kilograms? Well, I don't know. There must be a way of doing that. And I read this morning in another paper that there are so many big pumpkins, over 400 kilograms. How they measure this and how they actually transport it? Well, if you don't fancy the taste of pumpkin yet, have you got a sweet tooth? There is less chocolate in treats after the shortage. Yes, British confectioners have said they are having to reduce the quantity of chocolate in their products in response to global price rises for both cocoa and butter. The two items have played a substantial part in the rise of food inflammation, which is now at 4.2%. Three successive crop failures in Côte d'Ivoire and Ghana have increased the cost of cocoa. Whittaker's Chocolates in Skipton, North Yorkshire, has responded, "We've been investing in products where we can use chocolate as a covering on ginger biscuits or on nuts rather than solid chocolates," said owner William Whittaker. And as we're heading towards the season of delicious chocolate treats, well, we all know that the packages have shrunk. Well, what's inside the packages, the prices have stayed, or the packages have stayed and the prices have increased. We are thinking of all these lovely chocolate treats which we will get for Christmas. Thinking of Christmas already? Bit too early? Well, postman pedals to see Santa. Santa's elves start early in Germany. Three postal workers have set off on a 1,860-mile bicycle ride from St. Nikolaus in Saarland State to Rovaniemi, Finland, which is the home to the Santa Claus village. They will bring letters and Christmas wish list addressed to Santa Claus from St. Nikolaus to the amusement park perched on the edge of the Arctic Circle. Arctic Circle. Yes, that's it, because it's very cold. It's Arctic there. St. Nikolaus himself was there to hand the letters to the elves, and this tradition dates back to 1967. Well, enjoy the autumn first and Halloween first before thinking too much of Christmas. Well, that is goodbye from me. Goodbye for now. Goodbye from Uta.